Today's episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by Skillshare. To get 2 months of Skillshare for just 99 cents, visit skillshare.com/creative. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry and I'm your host. Many of the best innovations are the ones we create to scratch our own itch. I started this very podcast back in 2005 because I was a struggling creative director trying to find decent conversations about how to help my team stay healthy and productive over the long term. Well, today's guest also scratched an itch, and it's now helped countless people around the globe better organize their thoughts and their days. So, quick confession, I am a paper addict. I've relented somewhat, and now I use an iPad Pro for some of my note-taking and other tasks, but there's nothing like a well-crafted notebook and the feel of a pen scratching on paper. So when I came across the bullet journal method a few years ago, I was at first intrigued and then quickly hooked. It's a simple method for planning your day and tracking your thoughts and ideas. What I loved about it was its simplicity and that it removed the pressure to get it right that many journaling and productivity methods impose. The creator of the bullet journal method is Ryder Carroll, and he's on this episode of the show to help us understand a bit about how to use journaling to organize our lives and to accomplish our goals. He's just released a book called The Bullet Journal Method, and we'll be discussing it in just a moment. Before we dive into that, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Skillshare. One of the most important factors in not only effectiveness, but also life satisfaction is lifelong growth, committing to learning new skills, to developing yourself, to trying new things, to stretching your perspective and your boundaries. But where do you go to learn new skills? I mean, you're going to go find a friend to teach you how to do something. Well, yeah, that's great if you can find those friends, but we're all busy, right? Well, Skillshare is a community of people who are ready, at the ready, to teach you whatever skill you want to learn. It's an online learning platform with over 20,000 classes in business, marketing, technology, design, and much, much more. You can take classes in social media marketing, data science, web development, you name it, and Skillshare has it. So whether you're trying to deepen your professional skill set, you want to start a side hustle, or maybe you just want to explore a new passion, Skillshare is there to keep you learning and thriving. So one of the things I love about Skillshare is it's not just dedicated to business skills. There are tons of courses that can help you grow in your business skills, but also personal skills, things you want to learn to develop in your life. Today, we're talking on the podcast about journaling, and there are all kinds of courses on Skillshare to help you, classes to help you develop a journaling habit. So for example, creating your own journal, there are courses about how to create, how to build. Actually, if you want to build with your own hands, craft with your own hands a journal, you can do that. There's a course called Creative Writing for All, a 10-day journaling challenge. I wrote about this in my newsletter last week. Writing for self-discovery is a really important thing to learn. There's a course on how to start a creativity journal for creative inspiration. How to keep a commonplace book to help you collect your inspiration in one place so that you're at the ready when you need a brilliant idea. All of this and much, much more is available on Skillshare. So join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer for listeners of the Accidental Creative. Get 2 months of Skillshare for just 99 cents. That's right. Skillshare is offering the Accidental Creative listeners 2 months of unlimited access to over 20,000 classes for just 99 cents. To sign up, go to skillshare.com/creative. Again, that's skillshare.com/creative to start your 2 months now. We thank Skillshare for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's great to have on the show today, Ryder Carroll. Ryder is the author of a new book called The Bullet Journal Method, Track the Past, Order the Present, Design the Future. But more importantly, probably more impactfully for many people out there, he is the inventor of the bullet journal method. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it and have experimented with it. Ryder, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast.
Thanks for having me on.
So, before we jump into the specifics about the book and about the bullet journal method and all of that, could you just tell us a little bit about your background? What was your career path like getting to this point?
Sure. So I would say for the past decade or so, I've actually been a digital product designer and art director, designing websites and apps and identities and things like that. So very much a digital native.
So your background is in all things digital, right? I guess in terms of design, and yet you have developed a very analog type of method, way of capturing and planning and all of that. So what, you know, first of all, what drew you to create something that was mostly pen and paper based, right? Given that your background is in technology and design, you know, why pen and paper?
Well, I guess we have to rewind way back. So back in the day, when I was very young and going to school, quickly turned out that I had learning disabilities. And at the time, there weren't a lot of tools available to somebody with ADD, which is what I was diagnosed with. And so I started figuring out ways to get organized and be productive, like piece by piece. And the only way I could do that as a kid is I had pen and paper, and that's about all I had. So fast forward 20 years over time, I iterated on these tools and techniques until finally I kind of had a core tool set, if you will, that I've been refining ever since, that has eventually turned into what is known as the bullet journal today. And what was interesting is when I started being able to focus on things that actually really interested me, I realized that I actually did have a lot of focus, and I could be very disciplined, and that all these tools and methodologies that I had developed that helped me overcome challenges now became twice as impactful. And so basically, as I became a digital product designer, as the internet became more and more prevalent, I realized that my notebook allowed me to remain much more focused than without it. So I'd go through spells where I didn't use it, and I started realizing things started falling through the cracks, especially when I tried to replace elements of it with a wealth of digital products out there that do different parts of the same thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's so like I just found like in this digital space, this thing that I had designed in a mostly nascent digital world proved to be one of the most effective tools of for me to stay productive.
Yeah, you know, it's there's something about I go through this with my kids. I have a teenager. I have two teenagers actually, 15 and 13. I'm still getting used to that. And then our daughter's a little bit younger. She's 11. But you know, they keep everything in their phones, their calendar, their task list, everything. And you know, I'll pretty regularly go through this thing where I'll say, hey, you know what? If you just kept an index card in your back pocket and you pulled it out every so often and looked at it, I think it would probably be better for you in terms of remembering and in terms of spotting patterns, only because once you put something in an app, it's gone. It's out in the ether somewhere. Like you, there's no prompt for you to look at it again. But there is something about pen and paper that is very rooting, and that is that almost in many ways, it sort of keeps things in front of you and helps you spot patterns more readily than if they're just sort of out there loosely connected somewhere in cyberspace.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that one of the reasons is because it's more challenging. Mm-hmm. And it's more challenging to take out the piece of paper, find your pen and write something down than just kind of, you know, sending it into the void of the app world, right? Like, I want to be very clear that I think apps can be tremendously helpful in certain aspects, but a lot of times I think that we mistake convenience and efficiency, right? Those are like two different things. It's like it's very efficient seemingly to just be able to like rattle something off into your app, but I don't think it's very efficient because it goes nowhere, right? The process of capturing it is more efficient, but like honestly, it's just the convenience that makes us think that we are being more efficient. And taking a step back, I found, and actually having to stop and spend time to think about something and to really distill something into what matters, like taking that time and that little bit of friction compounded over time can make you significantly more focused and then actually thereby more efficient.
I love that.
Feel like that's a balance that is very tricky to figure out. And, you know, again, each to their own.
Yeah, and I think that's right. I think everybody's going to have their own, you know, opinion on that matter. But as someone who I've wavered, I've gone back and forth between, you know, I mean, I'm heavily immersed in the tech world, obviously, and I use technology to solve problems. Like my task list, for example, I use you know, technology to track my task list only because I have so many recurring tasks and other things. And the bullet journal method does a great job of doing that. But for me personally, I find that helpful. But for other things, pen and paper is absolutely invaluable for planning, for writing. I mean, I used to journal electronically and I realized there's something about taking the time to stop and to write and to feel the scratch of the pen against paper that just makes it feel more valuable, makes it feel more real. And again, it, like to your point, it slows you down. It puts friction in the process that forces you to have to stop and think right as you go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, don't get me wrong. Obviously, I want to get things done as efficiently as possible. And the thing is, like, speed is so seductive, right? It's like, oh, I'll get it. I'll get more done. I'll get more things done faster. And in my own experience, having spent a lot of time with apps, using a lot of apps, designing a lot of apps, like, that's not always true, right? You'll get, you'll get, like, I would say some of the like tertiary things done much faster, right? Like data entry way faster. It's like, what does it mean? Like, why is it important? Why am I doing this in the first place? Like, those are very important steps that we're starting to skip all too frequently.
Yeah. Yeah, completely agree. And it's funny. And I want to jump in next to talking about your bullet journaling conceptually. But I went from, you know, sort of notebook, like being such a notebook addict and devotee. And then a friend of mine was using the iPad Pro with the Apple Pencil about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it and I said, oh my goodness, that will solve all of my problems. And so I handwrite everything and I use templates and all of that with the iPad Pro. So I still handwrite my journal. I still handwrite everything. But the beautiful thing is it solved the problem of like, I have everything with me now everywhere I go, you know, and it syncs up to my phone. And so it's sort of like, I can't get rid of the handwriting and the slowing down and having that tactile experience, but it's nice to have, we have tools now that are starting to make it easier for you to get sort of the best of both worlds in many ways.
Sure. I mean, it just depends on what it is that you want. And I think that's really like a core philosophy underlying the bullet journal method, right? It's a lot of people always look to these apps. It's like, oh, I finally found my global solution to so many issues and like, you know, right, check that box. And then a week, a month, a year later, you realize that it really isn't. Right. And then you start having to deal with like, okay, what do I replace it with? What do I do this with? The thing that I like about the bullet journal is that it's like every solution that I give you or every solution that you come up with is designed to be evolved. And it's designed, like in some cases, to be totally temporary. And the whole concept behind it is dealing with how we evolve and how we change and like continuously changing the way that we approach whatever it is that we're trying to focus on a consistent basis, right? And then luckily, in my experience, there's like nothing easier to change than the way that you use your notebook. Yes. Like for me, the challenge has been with apps, like you are beholden to the opinions of the creators of the app, which a lot of the time is required because if they didn't have an opinion, the app would probably be way too broad and then you wouldn't really know how to use it. Right. Like it's like a lot of the super flexible apps out there can very quickly spin out of control. But then you have, on the other hand, you have apps that are like super focused that like do one thing very well, or a few things like mobile design, right? Like those patterns have a very specific opinion. And if they happen to align with what you need, they can be great.
Right.
I just haven't found any software, at least in my own experience, that kind of balances both those things, that can be super focused and super general and can change based on what you need, right? That's the beautiful thing about pen and paper. Like it's only beholden to you.
Yes. Absolutely.
But again, I don't think it's a pen. I don't think it's analog versus digital. I think they're just all tools and you have to figure out what tools help you execute the best.
Yeah.
And that changes over time.
I love that perspective. All right. So let's talk about bullet journaling. Just kind of, I don't want to get into the weeds. Obviously we talked about this, you know, it's not, I mean, it's not really, something that you can talk about in detail on a podcast. It's something you kind of have to see and have explained to you, which is why I think the book is so valuable, the bullet journal method, but let's talk about it in a broad sense. What is bullet journaling?
In a broad sense, I would say that bullet journaling gives you a way to very quickly organize your thought by codifying your entries into small bullets. Essentially, you categorize your thoughts into tasks, events, and notes. Each one of those has a symbol. So a very basic part of it is trying to take your thoughts out of your head to organize them on paper. Like in that process, I think a lot of really important things start happening. Mm-hmm. A, you're just like offloading a lot of the noise throughout the day. Also, you have to distill information down to what is most important in real time. You don't necessarily have to think about it or mull it over, right? Like you get a task, you write it down. But what about that task is worth writing down? By keeping it short, you immediately kind of begin to focus. Yeah. So at the very core, bullet journaling is about taking your thoughts and putting them out on paper from a systematic standpoint. But I always like to say that the bullet journal method is a mindfulness practice disguised as a productivity system in some way.
Right.
Because like over time, what I encourage you to do is go back and review your notes through various different, very specific methods. So on one hand, you're just capturing the rush of the noise of life, and then like you kind of set specific times where you review those things and start to ask yourself questions like, is it vital? Does it matter? And again, this is not super existential. It's just like sometimes we write things down because it's easier just to write them down than it is to parse them.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's important to come back to the things that you task yourself with, because like literally the things we task ourselves with shape our experience. They shape our lives. And the bullet journal is about trying to figure out which things in your task list, in your notebook, the things that you put into your life actually add value.
Yeah. So I want to, we're not going to get in the weeds. I promise you we're not, but just, you know, again, I think for people listening, just to give them a general sense of what this is and how it kind of functions, there are three just kind of high level parts of a bullet journal. There's a task list, there's a journal, and there's a planner. Could you just give us a broad overview of what each of those three parts are and what they're designed to do?
Sure. To break it down, essentially the bullet journal, on the one hand, has this thing called rapid logging, which I just talked about, which is how you capture your thoughts. Then the other big component are these things called collections. And collections are a way for you to collect related information. So on the one hand, you have the daily log. The daily log is used to offload things from your mind. Then you have the monthly log, which basically gives you an opportunity to step back each month and think about the things that you need to do, and then the time that you have to do it in. So that's broken down into a calendar as well as a task list. Then you have the future log, which is where you put all the things that need to be done outside of the current month. Mm-hmm. And then you have this thing called the index. And the index is essentially where you can store all of the content from your information. The index is there to help you find where your content is inside the book. So each collection, let's say your shopping list collection or your project collection, they all happen on a certain page. So you just go to your index and then you can quickly find where that collection is inside your book. Yeah. So you have these collections and those are like the core collections, but you're also encouraged to design your own collections for whatever you need, whether it's, you know, tracking your exercise routine or tracking medication or creating collections for projects. The system is very modular. So it encourages users to start with the core and then build on that. Like you are always putting the tools into the framework that already exists and also taking them out again. So over time, the actual system evolves alongside you and it becomes whatever you need it to be. And figuring out what you need it to be is part of the practice.
Yeah, which is great. And again, having, you know, it can be whatever you want it to be, but the great thing is having a place to capture your ideas, having a place to capture tasks, being able to spot patterns between those tasks, being able to understand the bigger themes of what you're doing every day. I think some people, you know, again, with technology, we have task lists day to day and we throw things into task lists and we check things off or whatever, but we're never really paying attention to what's going on from day to day. What are the trends right now in my work? How am I spending my focus and my time and my energy on a daily basis? And I think just having a sense of that, having a place where you're capturing all of that, I think if nothing else, if people only use it for that purpose, it's going to, I think, reap dividends in terms of how they see those patterns and where they're spending their time and their energy.
Yeah, absolutely. So on the one hand, you have the system, and what you're talking about to me is more about the practice aspect of methodology. So once a month, we go through this process called migration, right? And the migration, you look through all the content that you've captured throughout the month. You know, check off anything that's done, but the thing you're looking for are the things that are not done, right? And then you have a choice to make. You have a choice to either rewrite it into the new month, right? To migrate it over, or to leave it behind. And it's just through the moment that it takes, the moment of friction that it takes to have to rewrite this one thing, a lot can happen, right? If it's not worth the moment that it takes to actually put pen to paper again, then you have to ask yourself, is this actually really adding value to your life? Like, is this something that needs to be part of your day? Like, we have very limited time and energy. So through migration, you start to really begin to analyze what it is that you're doing on a continual basis. And that's really, for me, what makes bullet journal like an ongoing, makes it valuable on an ongoing basis. Because again, you just, like, a lot of things happen, and I feel like we have less and less time to really take a step back and consider what it is that we're tasking ourselves with and make sure that it is something that we want to continue working towards. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, but we should need to ask ourselves that question.
Yeah. You know, so I just wanted to ask you one final question. You've done a great job, by the way, of trying to talk about something that you have to see in order to understand it. It's like trying to describe a work of art to someone over a podcast. It's like, well, there's a woman and she's kind of, you know, it's like, okay, that's not, you know, but you've done a great job of helping us understand it. This was a passion project for you. You know, and it was something, I mean, I'm sure that you didn't sit down one day and say, you know what, if I were to invent a method for tracking my days and ordering the present, designing the future, I'll bet I could write a book and build a business. I mean, this was something you did to solve your own need, your own purpose. So I would want your advice for those who are out there right now thinking, you know what, I've got this thing that I made for myself, but I don't know that it's really worth sharing with other people. At some point, you, writer, had to decide, you know what, I think this is going to be valuable for other people too, not just for me. How do you cross that threshold, and what would be your advice to other people who might be in a similar place right now?
That's a great question. So I want to take a little bit of a step back from that question and kind of lead you into how I made that decision. Yeah. So in my time, I've worked for various startups and have created a bunch of my own as well. Things that you don't hear about because, you know, they didn't really pan out. But the consistent thread through all those, I felt, is that I was trying to put something into the world for the sake of it just, because I thought it was like cool or because I thought it could become a product or something like that, right? It was more along the lines of like, oh, I have this idea that I think I could turn into a business. And inevitably, those things didn't work out because at the end of the day, I didn't care about the product itself, right? I just like cared about the idea of having a business. And in order to really push anything through and really to stick with it, which is, time is really like a very, very formidable opponent, right? The longer you have to work on something, the harder it becomes. And if you really don't believe in what it is that you're working on, you can burn out really fast. So when I had an opportunity to work on something new, I was like, what do I want to put out there that I feel could add value? Like, what has added value to my life? What is something that I use every day? And I didn't have an answer to that question when I began, right? I just was kind of like searching. It's like, I'm certainly not the best designer out there. I'm definitely not the best developer out there. Like, what is something that has added real value to my life? And, or like, what challenge have I solved or have made a lot of progress on that may help other people? And all of a sudden it just dawned on me, is like, I use my notebook in a very different way from people around me. That being said, there were always notebooks around me, right? Everywhere I work, in specifically in agencies and in a very, very digital space, there were always notebooks. Developers, designers, project managers, and so on, they had these notebooks. I'm like, well, maybe if I share how I use my notebook, that would help some people. And that was it. Like, that was the beginning of it. And it's basically, it's formed the core of everything else that I try to create now that it has worked, turned into a business. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew from day one that at least one person in the world found a lot of value in this. And I'm like, surely there must be other people who this could help.
Right.
And, you know, like, if you, it's better to start with an audience of one than an audience of zero.
Absolutely. Well, I love that perspective of what do I do that could help other people, right? That maybe I'm already using for myself, but maybe I don't even realize, but this is something that could be really valuable to others as well. So we've been talking with Ryder Carroll. He's the author of The Bullet Journal Method, Track the Past, Order the Present, Design the Future. Ryder, where can people find you if they're looking for you?
I'm at Ryder Carroll on Twitter. You can find more information about the Bullet Journal at bulletjournal.com. You can also find an incredible amount of different examples looking up at Bullet Journal on Instagram.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today, and best of luck with the book. I think it's going to be a huge smash success.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And as always, thank you for listening. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time. Bye.